Do love.
Heart feels like it froze a long time ago. Don't let me go. Just hold me close when I don't feel close. Just hold me close when I don't feel close. Just hold me close when I don't feel close. But I don't know where you go when I'm gone, and I wish I felt you next to me. Don't need to know it all, and I don't know where I'm meant to be, or where you're meant to be, 'cause you won't leave me cold. My heart froze a long time ago. You won't let me go. You'll hold me close when I don't feel close. You'll hold me close when I don't feel close. You'll hold me close when I don't feel close.
Done in a while. Wow. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. Could you explain the song a little bit? Or you could,
I mean, I kept it a little vague, but essentially, just in a quick, first of all, it was inspired, like, I went away for Shabbos, and like, I had this awesome moment where I did not want, like, this little T4. I did not want Shabbos to end. I was like, oh my gosh. It was like such a strong feeling, and I like loved that feeling. It was such a like good feeling to like feel so deeply. And I was messing around on the guitar, and I was also reading somewhere, okay, I don't have the right source for this, but somewhere in Chassidus it talks about like your neshama getting frozen and numb. It's like kind of like a mushel. And like I resonate with that, so I'm like saying to like kind of like, you know, even though this is loose and it could really be for whatever you want the song to be about, but like to the Shechina, like don't leave me cold, you know, and my heart feels like it froze, but then it's the reality is like I just wish I felt you next to me. You're always here. So that kind of like the gist of it.
Okay, beautiful, beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. Beautiful. Okay, let's talk a little bit about Hanukkah again. Yesterday we spoke about the light that each and every one of us has. Right, we were talking about how there's two types of lights. There's the light that's in contrast to the darkness, right? Which is really the way we view Hanukkah, is it's the darkest time of the year. Hanukkah is when it's the longest nights and the shortest days, which we're going to talk a little bit about today. Yesterday, we were more focusing on the light, like the generator part of who we are, and the power of who we are and our light and the light of everyone, the R that each and every one of us sometimes run away from. We sometimes run away from, you know, from our greatest strengths, And we're afraid. That's what we were talking about yesterday. We're afraid of our strengths. We're afraid of how powerful we can be and how powerful we really are. You know, one of the things, just to talk a little bit, it's always good to talk about that, sometimes it's easier not to shine. Sometimes it's easier to sort of, be down, even though it's not true. But sometimes it feels easier to just be down and to be depressed and to be sad and to not tap in to our beauty. I don't know if you want to go with the certainty of misery versus the misery of uncertainty, whatever the lumdish of why it is that sometimes we'd rather be, connected to us being down, as opposed to being happy and powerful, whatever the reason is. But there's definitely a truth to that. One of the things that I want to talk about today about Hanukkah, and it's a little bit connected, but it's based on what Rav Moshe Weinberger in the Sefer Belabas Eish, that he says on page 55. It's just a quick story or a quick reference, and then we'll talk about it, that he says that in the parshas that we read, page 55, he says in the parshas that we read during Hanukkah, we read about the missing tzaddik Yosef. Yosef's missing. That's what we read about. The Sfarim say that on Hanukkah, we think about the tzaddik within ourselves that is missing. The person that we want to be who isn't there. We think about how to light that candle of our potential selves and how to find the Yosef HaTzadik within each and every one of us. He brings that Reb Leibele Eger once said, that's Rabbi Kiva Eger's grandson, once said that the concept underlying the halacha preference to light the Hanukkah candles outside the house, especially in Eretz Yisrael, we do that, where we light outside the house, dates back to Yaakov Avinu. Why? Because Yaakov Avinu would stand outside by the doorway, looking out into the darkness, looking and waiting for his son, Yosef HaTzadik. Is he ever going to come back home? When is he coming back home? Is he returning? So he said on the first night of Hanukkah, we remember, we light one candle, because I think it goes according to day one, day two, but we light the candle, and for a person to look at the candle and to remember to himself that Ner Elokim Nishmas Adam, which means the candle of the soul, Hashem is the candle of the soul of man. We remember that Hashem, our Father, is sitting and waiting for us to return to Him. He is waiting for us to discover the missing tzaddik within us, within each and every one of us. So what I want to talk about a little bit today for Hanukkah is that yearning and that desire. A little bit interesting that Avi sang his song of, wanting to be close. Like sometimes that yearning that we have to be close to Hashem, sometimes that yearning or that frustration that we have for not seeing our light or being, who we want to be, sometimes that very frustration and that very thought or feeling of wanting to be close is the most beautiful light that we can tap into. Sometimes that what?
Is that Hashem purposely puts that into the creation that we
right.
So that we, if it was always good, we wouldn't feel it good.
Right. That's explaining why it works like that, which is true. That Hashem made it, He made it like that. He made it so that we yearn. That's what Avi's explaining. He made it. That's part of the process. And what I'm saying to that is that sometimes is so, so powerful. Sometimes when you're down, sometimes when you are frustrated, sometimes when you feel that I need to improve. Sometimes when you feel I want to be close to Hashem, I wish my life would be different. I wish that I could be connected. That is the greatest connection that a person can have. That in itself is light. Sometimes we're waiting for everything to be different. We're waiting for things to be a certain way. And when a person recognizes, a person realizes that actually, and of course, galus is difficult. It's very difficult to say, I want to yearn. You know, the yearning itself is already the connection. But it is a connection. When you yearn for something, when you want something, when you really desire something, you know, because what happens is to all of us is we yearn and yearn and yearn. We want and we want and we want. And then we get to what we were yearning for. And then what happens when we get to that place that we were yearning to get there?
The next thing.
The next thing. Then we start yearning again. You start yearning again for the next thing. You say, oh, I want to have $5 million. Then who have you met who made his $5 million and then said, okay, I got it, and that's it. I got my $5 million, right? You want $5 million, then what do you want, Michal? 50. And you think when you get to 50, I like that. He's like five's 50 million, you're going to want to get 100 million. Right? That's why Kesef is called Kesef. Why is Kesef called Kesef? What is the literal translation of Kesef? Kisufim, to desire. Why is Kesef called Kesef? Because everyone desires it. That's why. Everyone wants money. So what do we call it? Instead of calling it money, just call it want. Because that's what everybody wants. So now deep down, our neshama, the light of our soul, the neshama deep down, like Avi was singing before, and like we all have inside of us, we all have this yearning to connect to Torah, to mitzvahs, to Hashem, to our home, to our youth, to our simplicity, to our tahara, to our purity. We all yearn to be ourselves in the most simplistic, connected way. That's what we yearn. That's what we yearn. And one thing I could say, and then we'll go to question comments from all of you, is that yearning, that light, that candle, as you get older, for the guys who are a little bit older, when you're younger, you sort of really dream that dream, and you sort of trust your yearning. When you get a little bit older and you get disappointed, or you have setbacks, or you have stuff, what happens is somehow that the darkness takes over. Like you get a little bit more, a little bit more intellectual or sophisticated, and we drop, that little kid who was a little bit, it's the little kid who's like dreaming and saying, oh, I want to, fly an airplane. Like, and then everyone tells them, or I have all these dreams, you'll get into reality. You'll live, in reality. I don't want to live in reality. Or maybe that is reality, that I could dream to be what I want to dream to be. And I can unfreeze, melt my heart or whatever it is, or, get back to when things stopped for me. As long as you're yearning, as long as you're Yaakov. Imagine if Yaakov Avinu, right, closed the door, Hashem Yirachem on the hostages, the parents and the family of the hostages, right, to say okay, what's going on already? It's already a year and a half. Like, what? Chas v'shalom. Like, my son's alive, right? My son's alive and well. So to tap into my son within myself, my child, right? My child within me, the child within me. Simcha Rabba, you'll give us an IFS explanation of the child. How does that work? The child, tell me. I know that. What do they say? Tell me what that was. The child.
We deeply want to connect to our full selves,
and included it in the full selves are the younger parts of us.
Is that the way it works? I don't know the way.
Yeah.
What? So explain, if you could explain.
People go through experiences in their life, and those experiences, for whatever reason, make our brains, because God gave us coping mechanisms.
So again, everyone here, this is very important to hear. I just want everyone to hear. The way the model works is that...
that when we went through certain experiences when we were little and we actually couldn't have the skills and the coping mechanisms to deal with it,
right.
The best thing to do was to cut us off from it.
To cut us off from what?
If I was 6 years old and I got sent to the corner and I didn't have a safe place to process that, I want to exile that part of me forever. I never want to feel that. If my father used to always, tell me how blankly blank I was, and I didn't have a safe place to process that, then Hashem made us in a beautiful way that we have a way of cutting that off. It's like a boat in the bottom of the boat when it gets knocked by a... when it gets a hole, so there will be another stage of the boat that will block off that part of the boat from the water coming in.
Wow.
And now that you have no access to that part of the boat anymore, so everything there is locked up. So when we get older and hopefully people begin, wanting to access their full selves, so then that's the yearning of, I think, both ends. There's a yearning of that younger child that never got that same processing. And there's a yearning of you that, that you can call it the motherly love that you naturally want to give over.
Beautiful.
To yourself. So it goes both ways.
Thank you, Simcharala. Beautiful. So that's beautiful. Yeah, go. It's great.
I just want to say that usually in my experience from my own system and when I'm sitting with people, they're very not used to even this idea where it just sounds so distant from them that when they actually have that experience,
right.
It's not like a textbook telling you that's what happened. That
right.
A person experiences that wholesomeness of connecting with their younger selves.
Beautiful. So I just want to say thank you, Simcharala. Amazing. I guess I felt, that's what I was asking you, I felt what we were talking about is that yearning. To sort of, again, I'm not going with the IFS. I mean, we're using it because it's a great model like that. It's like that little, it's like the knock on the door from that little kid who I guess what, you exiled sort of your system,
a part
that got scared and ran away or something, but you're not able to really be, the you. That's why children, little children for us, are so good to learn from them and to have that feeling, of I want to dream and connect to Hashem. I want to connect to my father. I want to connect to my mother. I want to connect to my siblings. I want to connect to myself. I want to connect to the Torah. What little kid doesn't run to say, I want to learn Torah. I want to daven. Naturally, you want to be connected
until an experience happens
that shuts you out. That what?
The kid wants to please his parents.
That's also
it doesn't. But no, all those things that you just said.
Right.
He's chasing.
Right. Again, that could be. So first of all, I believe that first of all that is true. But I think also there's the neshama. And and that he wants to connect to Hashem. I believe that he wants to connect to Hashem without getting psychological about it. The neshama, ner elokim, nishmas adam. The neshama of a child, of a little child, right, wants to be close to Hashem, wants to be close to the Torah. He learned, the Gemara says, that he was in his mother's womb, right, learning the Torah. And what happens is, I think, what Reb Simcha Rabba is saying is that we get kidnapped from that. We get
the
experiences, they say, it becomes negative for me, or I'm just pleasing my father, I'm just pleasing, my family, something like that. But in
is
the
not like a 5-year-old kid, is that not what's happening?
Again, you're it could be that there are aspects of natural things that we want to, be loved by our parents and our family, but I'm talking from a ruchnias, from a spiritual sense, from a connecting of my neshama. Your neshama. Your neshama, you know, is
connected.
Huh?
Trying to find favor in somebody's eyes, right, is a way of connection.
Yeah, correct.
Connecting to Hashem could also be finding favor.
Right. Correct, finding favor, right? But I'm just saying, yeah, I'm just saying. I think that Yaakov, I'm talking from a spiritual, from a ruchnius sense. I think that we all have a neshama, and we all deep down, you know, yearn to be close to Hashem, to be close to the Torah, to be close to Klal Yisrael, to be close to ourselves, to really live the fullest that we can live. And I think that that's what Hanukkah represents. Hanukkah represents the neshama. Hanukkah represents lashkicham torasecha. They didn't want to kill us. Purim, right? Everyone knows, right? Why do they say the difference between Purim and Hanukkah? Purim, Haman wanted to what? Kill the physical body. While Hanukkah is, they wanted to kill our soul.
Spiritual.
They say, I think the Greeks, they say the Yavanim, the Chachma, is that they used to shave their heads and be bald, right? Because they believed, I heard this from Rabbi Yeager used to say this over, that for the Rosh Yeshiva and Shai Yashiv, he used to say over that the Greeks would shave their heads and they were bald because they believed that the seichel is where it ends. It ends with your brain. A Jew, what do? We put on a yarmulke. On top of that, what does a yarmulke mean? Yare Malka. Because what do we believe? We believe that our hands, there's only one part of your body that goes above your head. What is that? Your hands. I mean, you could put your feet above if you're very whatever. But I'm saying your hands go above your head. What do your hands represent? Vayhi yadav emuna. Your hands represent emuna. That's why when people, sometimes they start struggling in Judaism, they stop washing their netilas yadayim. Why is netilas yadayim so important? They don't wash for bread. They take off their yarmulke. They stop washing their netilas yadayim. Why is it so important? Come on. Ruach tumava. No, it's much deeper than that. It's your hands go above your seichel. They go above, which is really what Hanukkah is. Because Hanukkah represents, Yaakov, thank you for getting me started on this, but that's really what it is. Yearning for the Shmona, for the eight days, which is what? Which is above Teva, which is, I'm not. Moda'ani lefanecha melechai v'kayam. One of the tzaddikim, Rav Nachman, I think it's from Rav Nachman, he said over, shechzarta bi nishmasi, that I'm not a, I've said this on Shabbos a few times, I'm not a physical person trying to become spiritual. I'm a spiritual person who has to live in a physical world. My essence is Moda ani lefanecha melechai v'kayim shechzarta bi nishmasi. I'm a neshama. See, what Yaakov was saying, what the world of psychology has done for us in a negative sense, is it makes everything, psychology is, of course, has become much, you know, like regular, you know. But what the world of psychology does is it makes everything we do physical. It makes us understand everything from a physical sense, as opposed to realizing that, wait, I'm a neshama. One second, that's the essence of who I am. I'm a neshama, I have a soul. I'm here for a very clear purpose. Like, how do I tap in to my neshama? What is my neshama? My neshama is going to last longer than my... Everybody here's body is physical, is going to go away at some point. Okay, maybe some people will be zocha the tzaddikim or zocha to even in the grave, their body doesn't deteriorate or decay or whatever happens to it. But most people, their bodies are not here to last. Whatever happens in Olam Haba, you somehow get your body back in a certain point, but we're all neshama. Hanukkah is the time to tap into that lost part of me that when I was a kid, or maybe before I was a kid, or maybe when I was in my mother's womb, or maybe when I was in Shemayim, right, that we can tap into in a very, very deep way. Very, very deep way. Okay, question, comments? Please. No questions, comments on that one. Yes.
Very clear set.
Okay. Thank you, Rachel. So I want to hear it. Let's be marchavit. Yeah, no questions. It was that clear. No questions.
So what do you say when you speak out that dream and then everyone or yourself is like, hey, but you're past that. That's something that you can't do anymore.
Right. So your hands go above your head. You're right. Maybe you're right. But there's something called, maybe Yaakov Avinu is like, what are the chances of my son coming home? What are the chances? What are the statistics? They say over once, someone said in Nobody Should Know, Everybody Should Be Well, they say in Sloan Kettering, unfortunately, right, a place where people who have the machla, and they go there, one of the doctors was, I heard this, I think, from Rav Waxman, he was saying over to somebody, someone said to the guy, to the doctor, so what are the statistics? What are the statistics, the prognosis of this person, the situation? He said, with you guys, he wasn't a Jewish doctor. He says, with you guys, the guy was a Hamish, a Frum, whatever it is. He realized that he was a religious, you know, Jewish guy. And he says, with you guys, there are no statistics. With you guys, there are no statistics. Because what's the pshat? Ein mazel Yisrael. What's the pshat? Is that when you tap into the above, like Avi's saying, so what do I do when everyone tells me, what did Yaakov Avinu do? Right, he needed his granddaughter, right, Sarach Bas Asher, the famous story. I mean, we're not up to that yet. Well, you know, don't want to foreshadow too much. And the Torah is like, it's like exciting now what's going on. But like, you all know the story. Like, they couldn't just say to Yaakov, oh, your son is still alive. He would have had a heart attack. Like, what does it mean? They had to slowly play. Because in reality, for 22 years, he says, Vayimayin le'esnachem, like he couldn't believe it. What do you mean? His son is went to whatever happened to him. He saw the blood. He saw it. But know what the answer is? The answer is, Vayhi yadav emuna. When you have emuna, when you have faith in yourself, when you continue to yearn, especially you guys are so young. You're so young. However old you think you are, you're so young. I'm very young. If I'm young, for sure you guys are young. As are so young, dream the dreams of the dreams that you want to have. Dream those dreams. Get back in touch with before. Again, I'm not going on you, Avi, but I'm using. I like that song to say, like, what was it? My heart was frozen. So try and not you, but all of us, to tap into before it was frozen. Who was I? If you got to look at pictures of yourself as a kid, look at yourself when you were a kid. Like tap into that little kid who was like jumping around before they told you to sit down and be quiet. You know, before they told you that you had, you know, when they told you had ADHD, and you didn't hear yet that it's really AAEIC, above average energy, imagination, and creativity. That it's awesome. It's not negative at all. It's awesome. Okay, last one, and then we'll wrap up for today. Anyone else? We're good?
So according to IFS, there's no mahalach of forgetting and move on?
I don't know, I'm not sure. You have to ask some crap. Again, I'm not, it's not about IFS. It's about tapping into what is already in you. It's you.
What if you don't want to go back to your younger self?
We're not saying it in a psychological way. We're saying it in me. It's me. Not saying it like, right, go back to the dreamer. Go back to your neshama. Go back what? Put your hands up. Exactly. Put your hands above your ass. Yes, Rabbi Lazarus. We'll end off with Rabbi Lazarus.
He's here. The shrine is here.
Beautiful.
You have to just use your koach of imagination.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you, Rabbi Lapidus. Yeah, 100%. Okay, someone's going to, you'll read it, Avi? The Kutzker Rebbe, where Rabbi Lazarus says, where is Hashem? Hashem is wherever you let him in. We've said this over many times. Wherever you let him in, he's there. We the more we let him in, the more he's there. So you want to, here, I have it here. So we'll do a Shmiras HaLashon. Go for it, Avi. Day 12. Day 17, go.
Okay. Day 17, financial harm / shame. It is forbidden to talk negatively about food that was produced by a Jew. This might seem a little extreme. After all, we're talking about food, not people. Mm. However, picture how you would feel if you overheard people talking negatively about your food.
Okay, beautiful. I just want to say, I just had this today where someone asked me, we had a back and forth, about whatever, some food, it's minhag shamayim, about some food product, and we were talking back and forth. Yeah, ani yachol lagid, yeah. Aviel picked up for me, thank you, Aviel. Aviel picked up for me, he got me some sushi. Aviel bought me sushi, and then he even said, when he asked me the question, how was the sushi? He preempted, because he learned Hilchos Lashon Hara, it's her, that to ask somebody, so how, now you would think, it's a very innocent, very simple question. Why can't I ask you how the sushi was? So what would I say? So that's a aliyup, like Avi saying, this halacha, that's called Avak Lashon Hara, because it's an aliyup. Now he could ask me, because we have that conversation, it's fine. But it's an aliyup for a person to say. Let's say I would say, oh, the sushi was terrible. So that would be Lashon Hara. So you have to be careful. The questions you ask people, the questions that we naturally say that we think are so innocent, can be Lashon Hara. Okay, thank you, everyone. Shkoyach, have an amazing first day of the rest of your life.